I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Hi,
I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. No matter what you're dealing with today, even if it seems big and hard, or if it's gone on for a long, long time, and you don't know what to do, it is possible to completely overcome it. It is possible that in a relatively short amount of time, you could look back on today and it be like it was a bad dream or happened to somebody else, because you are so free from it and are so victorious over it. It is possible. And all things are possible with God, and all things are possible to those that believe. But you do have to believe. And just believing it's possible is a start of turning the situation around. Said out loud, if you agree with it in your heart, say, I believe. All things are possible.
All things are possible.
With the Almighty God.
With the Almighty God.
And all things are possible.
And all things are possible.
To those that believe.
To those that believe.
And I believe.
And I believe.
I do believe.
I do believe.
Father, we thank you so much that we are not without help. We are not without recourse, but that you do guide us, and you are our victory in every time and place. It's said about your servant David that everywhere he went, you gave him victory. And you've never changed, and you're no respecter of persons. And so we claim that for ourselves. We ask for utterance, anointing, direction, guidance, answers, and help for now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Look, please, in Psalms 23 again, the 23rd Psalm. We've been for a number of days now on a series. We're just beginning into it. We're going to stay on it for a while, I think, that we're calling Faith for Provision. Faith for Provision. You can be strong in faith in one area and weak in faith in another. It depends on if your faith has been fed in that area and if you've exercised it in that area. You might be strong in faith in the blood of the Lamb that your sins are washed away and not have condemnation about your mistakes. That you are a child of God, names in the Lamb's Book of Life, you might be fully persuaded and yet have no faith at all that your bills will be paid. And it's not that, you know, you can't do it. It's just that if that's the case, your faith has not been fed in this area. If you heard something, you didn't accept it and you didn't act on it. And so that can change with a decision. It matters what you're listening to. It matters what you're hearing. And sadly, there's a lot of churches that preach against abundance. And they have their reasons. But what does the Bible say? What is God's will? Not what somebody that went to seminary thinks, or somebody that wrote a book or three. What does the Bible actually say about this subject? Because if I'm going to have faith for God providing, I got to hear it. Faith comes by hearing. I have to hear it. Where am I going to hear that? Well, if somebody's telling me that it might be God's will for me to be broke, that God's teaching me something through lack, well, I'm not going to resist lack. I'm not going to be going after abundance. I'm just going to be passive and go, well, whatever God wants. But what if that's a lie? What if that's the enemy deceiving you and confusing you, and lack never was God's will, then you'd be giving place to the enemy. And that's what the scripture warns us about. It says, give no place to the enemy. No, the scripture reveals that God is a God of abundance. And His will is abundance.
Yes.
And this includes material things. It includes every realm, every area. God is not a running out God. He's a running over God. Is this true?
Yes.
Well, you got to make up your mind about which is which. And so what we're doing now is going point by point in the scriptures in to give 30 different biblical truths based on scriptures, multiple scriptures, why we are sure it's always God's will for all of us to have abundance. Abundant provision. Our first reason was in Psalm 23 here, that the Lord is my shepherd. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Other translations bring out, the Lord is my shepherd, I do not lack. Another one says, the Lord's my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. Another one says, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. Another one says, the Lord takes care of me as His sheep. I will not be without any good thing. Another one says, the Lord is my shepherd. I will always have everything I need. Why? Because I got a good shepherd that takes care of me. I will always have everything I need. Said out loud, if you agree with the scriptures, would it be all right to say the same thing that the Bible says over yourself? I sure hope so. Said out loud, the Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not be in want.
I shall not be in want.
I am never in need.
I am never in need.
I will always have everything.
Have everything.
I need. Why? Because I'm His sheep. He's my shepherd. And this is this thought is repeated in detail in the New Testament in John 10:10, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I'm known of my sheep, and my sheep hear my voice. And He said, I'm also the gate, and through me they go in and out and find pasture. And He said, it's the thief that comes. He only comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Now that one phrase is so glaringly missing in many churches all over the world. To hear a lot of preachers talk, there is no devil. There is no devourer. You never hear them talk about a devil or demons or destruction. People go, ooh, that's spooky. We don't talk about that. Well, Jesus talked about it. Paul talked about it. Peter talked about it. James talked about it. No, it's not something to be scared of, but it's something to be aware of. And the reason why you don't hear a lot of it in some circles is because they believe the ungodly, unscriptural thing that everything that happens is somehow God. Well, what about the thief? What about the thief? If there's a thief, if he's stealing, killing, and destroying, that's not God. God's not the thief. Jesus is not the thief. Say it out loud with me, class. If it's stealing, it's not God.
If it's destroying,
if it's killing,
it's not God.
It's not God doing it.
It's not God's will.
Jesus said,
it's the thief.
It's the thief. He went on to say in John 10:10, but I am come. Now He tells us why He came. I am come, and the Amplified says it this way, that you might have and enjoy life to the full until it overflows.
Yes.
Does that sound like having your needs met?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're not enjoying life when you're going hungry.
That's right.
When your kids are going hungry. Right?
Right?
You're not, living it to the full, and it's certainly not overflowing when you can't pay your bills and you're getting kicked out of your apartment and they're repossessing your vehicle or whatever it is, that's not enjoying life. That's not running over. And it's not the will of God. Not ever. Now granted, all of us have made mistakes. All of us have come short. All of us have experienced some things and situations where we came short. But was it the will of God? It's just like every other area of life. To say that everything that has ever happened to me was the perfect will of God is tantamount equal to saying I have never done anything but the perfect will of God for my entire life. I think that's saying too much, don't you? No. Why do we have things that's not the will of God? Because we have done things that's not the will of God. We have not sought Him, not asked Him, not followed Him, not listened to Him, disobeyed Him, procrastinated, all kind of things. But we're getting smarter.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
We're learning. We're growing up. We're going to follow Him. And I'm telling you, the more you flow in His will, the more you do His will, the more you will experience His perfect will. And part of His will is full provision, abundance of every good thing. So we said, number one reason, the Lord's my shepherd. Number two, we talked about God is good, the goodness of God, and how that you need to get it forever settled. Lack is bad. And plenty and abundance is good. God's good. He's not bad. Number three, we've been talking about God is my Father, and He is a good Father. Could I deduce that He'll take care of my needs as my Father? Look in Matthew, if you would, the 6th chapter. Matthew 6. Does anybody around here like the Word of God as much as I do? I so enjoy it. I never get tired of it because it's alive. There's always more to see, and the truth will make you free. I tell you what, before we read Matthew, I'm going to read something from the Psalms. I should have told you that because you were already in the Psalms. But in Psalm 103, the Lord talks about this. Psalm 103, verse 8. Psalm 103:8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." And everybody ought to say, "Thank you, Lord." "For as high as the heaven, rather, is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And like as a father pities His children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him." Now, there is a lot of revelation here. He said the way the Almighty God sees us, and this is specifically talking about His people, is like a father does his child. Now, I know that sounds simple, and when you hear it, your heart immediately knows it's right, but a lot of people don't believe this. The devil is all the time lying about God, trying to misrepresent Him, portray Him as something other than a loving Father. And many have not realized, but they've bought into some of these errors. And in their minds, even though they would mentally agree with this, but in their minds, there are at least times where they see God as far distant, cold, ancient, aloof, someone that really can't even hardly relate to us. And this is a lie. I said, this is a lie. He is close. His Spirit is right here. Hallelujah. And the way he looks on us is as a great, wonderful, good father looks on their little child. Listen to the way other translations read this. The WEB translation says, like a father has compassion on his children, so Yahweh has compassion on those who fear or reverence him. Compassion. Well, does a parent, does a father, does a mother that's right care about their child?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
I mean, so many parents, they're like, and this is going too far, but they say, we live for our kids. Our kids are everything. Well, God's supposed to be number one. But so many are willing to sacrifice, to do any number of things because of their love and because of their care and compassion for their child or children. And certainly, they're not pleased if the child is suffering because of lack. What good father looks on their child struggling, not having enough to eat today, clothes worn out and ratty and terrible place to stay, and goes, I like it. That pleases me. That's good for them. You would not accept that out of any natural human father. You would go, no, they're messed up, right?
Yes.
Something's wrong with them. But see, what religion tries to tell you is, yeah, but God's different. You can't really compare him to a natural father. This is so different and above our understanding that, well, not according to the Bible. The Bible tells you he's like a father.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's how we are to understand how he sees us. And when this dawns on your spirit, it will rid you of junky religious tradition, and it'll open up your relationship with the Father like never before. He is the best daddy that there ever was. And he is the biggest daddy. Woo-hoo. You talk about a smart daddy, a wise daddy, a rich daddy. Powerful daddy, and he's my daddy. Hallelujah. Somebody say, God is my very own father.
I am
his very own child.
I am a part
of his own family
forever.
And what we're saying is, if that's true, does a good father take care of the family?
Yes.
So the today's English version on this, Psalm 103:13, says it like this. As a father is kind to his children, so the Lord is kind to those that honor him. Just like a what? Father. That's what he's giving us to understand who this Jehovah, Yahweh, creator of heaven and earth. He is mighty. He is awesome. You know, all you got to do is look up in the night sky. What kind of being can create galaxies and stars like this and planets and gravity? We have no idea how far this thing even goes. But just the earth, even in its fallen, cursed state, because of man's sin, there is still so much grandeur, so much beauty, right? You can only imagine what it was like before sin. Well, for too much longer, we won't have to imagine, because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where there is no curse and no death. We should look forward to that. But the thing that's going to make heaven is not just the streets of gold, it's who's there. And the Bible said We won't even need the sun for light because the Lamb is the light. The light you see in heaven is actually emanating out of our elder brother. And it's all connected to our great Father. The light, the glory, the life, the peace, the love, the joy, it's all coming out of Him. And it's also in us. That's what makes heaven heaven. Now in Matthew, we started to go there. Go ahead there now. Matthew 7, if you would. We had read in the previous chapter in Matthew 6 what we call the Lord's Prayer, where it starts off with what? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You should always start out every interaction with God showing respect. It's due Him. He is so awesome. You need to remind yourself who you're talking to every time. Reverence. Not fear. Not that he doesn't know you and you can't connect, but just reminding yourself he created everything. The power emanating out of Him is just off the scale. And He knows everything about everything. And you start out, my Father, my Holy Father, whose name is holy. He goes on to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Number one, start off with reverencing Him, honoring Him, worshiping Him, praising Him. Number two, start with His will, not yours. Because so many times when you find out His will, your stuff is irrelevant. You don't even need to think about that anymore, because now we got another direction to go. Don't start out with what I need, what I want. Start out with your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then what? Give us this day our daily bread. Or not? Would you add that to the prayer? No. Jesus told us to pray. Oh, great Father, give me every day my daily bread, what I need, unless you don't want to. Unless for some mysterious reason, it'll be better for me if I experience lack and don't have what I need daily. No, see, that's a bunch of religious junk. And it's changing what Jesus said. How many think we should stay with what the Master said? If He'd have wanted to say something else about, and some days you'll do without, but it's good for you, He could have easily said it. But no, we get the impression from what He said that we should expect all our needs to be met every day. Huh? Say it out loud, my Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done,
your will be done.
On this earth,
on this earth.
As it is in heaven.
As it is in heaven.
Give me this day.
Give me this day.
Now hold on, that's kind of straightforward, ain't it? Yeah. Give me?
Yeah.
Give it to me?
<That's right.
laughs> Shouldn't we back off and go, if you want to? No. How many think you should just stay with what Jesus said, exactly what He said?
Yeah.
Come on, say it again then.
Give me
today
and every day
my daily bread. Everything I need.
Every day.
Give it to me. Wow. That's pretty forward. That's just stepping right on up there and go, give it to me. Well, yeah, but it's not presumptuous. It's not disrespectful, because He's the one told us to say it.
Right?
He's the one told us to ask for it. In Matthew 7, verse 7, Matthew 7, 7, what's the first word?
Ask.
Ask. You know, at one point, one of the prophets came to the king in the Old Testament, and he said, the Lord says, ask. Ask as big as you want to. High as heaven, as deep as the deep. And the king said, oh, no. I won't ask. And the Lord said through the prophet, will you weary God? In other words, you're trying me. Why? He said, ask. And he missed that. So he says, well, I'll give you a sign myself. But it's not a sign of humility when the Lord tells you to ask and you say, well, no, I'm not going to ask. I'm going to leave it up to you. It's being disobedient. It's being disrespectful. If the Lord says ask, what does he expect you to do?
Ask.
He's not playing games with you. There's no reverse psychology going on. If he says ask, there's numerous reasons why he said ask. A lot of them we may not understand, but there are even spiritual legalities involved. But suffice it to say, if the Lord says ask, you better ask. Ask. For everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, he that knocks will be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? No good father will do that. If he asks a fish, will he give him a snake? No good father's going to do that. If you then, being evil, talking about natural parents and fathers, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your father, somebody say my father, your father which is in heaven, give what?
Good
what?
Things.
Things. Things. You need some things down here. Yeah, you do. You need food. You need clothes. You need a place to stay. You need a place to travel. You need tools. You need equipment. You need some things. You need a building for the church. You need equipment. You need cameras for faith school.
Yes.
You need some stuff. And if a natural good daddy who's super rich is glad to give good things to his kids to help them and make them happy, how much more? Somebody say, how much more?
How much more?
How much more will your Father in heaven give good things? To who?
Them.
Not just to everybody, but to who?
Them that ask.
Them that know him enough and know his will enough and have enough confidence to just go ahead and ask. Lift up your voice and say, I'm asking, Father.
I'm asking, Father.
For every good thing. I believe in your goodness. And I thank you for filling my life with good things. I give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Well, our time's up again today. Come back tomorrow. We're just getting into this. It's going to grow stronger and stronger in us.
I've got a victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.